Okay, today's daf is Ksubis daf Ayin Tes, and we are on Ayin Ches Mabez. We started yesterday the eighth parak here in Maseches Ksubis, which at this stage is discussing in depth Nichsei Malug and various issues related to the Nichsei Malug. We discussed the four different categories that the Mishnah had in terms of the woman's ability to sell the Nichsei Malug and the husband's veto rights and the getting back what was sold rights in the four categories. We said in almost all the categories the sale works, except in category number three, which was the case where she received the property after Nisuin, and she sold it after Nisuin, so then we say that the husband can recoup it, Shabbat Motsim Ad HaLakuchos, and we had a Machlokes, if it's after Erisin, she gets it, and then to sell a Machlokes on the Lachatchilu level between Bishamah and Bishilel, and we had the discussion of the relationship between Erisin and Nisuin, and we ended up at the end of the daf speaking a little bit about the Chanas Usha, which came up earlier, that the woman who sold Nechse Malug, the Chazal made a Takana, the Baal Motzmi Ad HaLakuchos, a way to protect the husband's rights, giving him the Nechse Malug, that if the woman sells it, he could recoup it back, and we discuss what is that, what's the Chiddush of that, if we already know it from the Mishnah, that's even after the woman dies, he is going to be able to get it back. And then we'll get back to general Takanas Drabanan at the end, if there's more time, relating to Takanas Usha. And then the last point we mentioned, which the Gemara is going to build on today, is Rabbi Shimon's Shita, the Chilik between different types of Nechasim. If the husband knows about certain Nechasim, you do him a baal, then he has more control over it because he had smichas das relating to these nechasim earlier. If he never knew about it, so then there's less to worry about in terms of her selling it. It was Medina Sayam. He didn't know about it, so she would have more rights to that. Okay, so let's start with the two dots. Hayitza, three lines to the bottom. Hayitza debaya detavrechinu lenichse migavra. A woman is getting married, and she wants to prevent her husband from getting properties that she's bringing into the marriage. Why? Because she doesn't want him all to get. Let's say she's going to bring it in, and then he's going to die, and then she's going to yarshin it all. He is going to yarshin it all if she dies first. So what does she do? She writes it all before marriage to her daughter. Right, which means here we're talking about somebody who was married before, not the first marriage. That's what Rashi says. Almana haisa ubas lihinase haisa makdemes venosanasan labita. She goes and gives all of her property to her daughter. Kedei lahavriach schuzbay lomehem shlo yiskoahem, to prevent the husband from getting the rights. As we have been talking about, all the nefsi maluga, the husband has the rights for it. This is called a shtar mavrachas, a shtar that's mavriach, that tries to keep the property away from her husband. And that's what she did. Back to the Gemara, Kasvatinu Labarta. Therefore, she wrote it to her daughter. And what happened in Siva Veigrisha? And then she got married, and then she got divorced. And at this stage, she wants her property back. She wrote it to the daughter, but she only wrote it to the daughter as a way of preventing it from going to the husband. But she didn't really mean it to give it to all the daughter right then. So she goes to Bezin and says, well, I didn't really mean it. It was just a shtar to keep it away from my husband. It wasn't a shtar that I really wanted to give it away. So what is the halacha about that type of shtar? There's a line here in Rashi which some of the Baalei HaTosfos say cannot be true. It must be a mistake. Rashi has the line, second to last line, Vahodia le'edim she'ein matana zu matana ela lahavriach. She told Adim before she wrote this shtar that this shtar is a fake. This shtar, I don't mean it. It's like what we call a moda'a. Moser moda'a before a shtar. She lets the Adim know beforehand this is just lahavriach, and the daughter should not really get any, have any rights. Veloshetiska mem abas. The daughter shouldn't really have any rights because it's not a real kinyan. We'll have to speak later, as in the Gemara will bring up, if it's not a real kinyan, then it has to prevent anything from going to the husband. That it really still belongs to the wife, so it should go to the husband. So how does this like have both? It's not a real kinyan, but it's enough to prevent the husband from getting it. So we'll have to talk about that in the Gemara. But this is the line of Rashi. Rashi says that there she told Adim. Tosfos says here, Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos, Ve'enira l'Rabbeinu Yitzchak. I don't think Rashi could say this, because we're going to have a machlokas amoraim in a couple of minutes about what the halach is of this shtar. If she told Adim, there's nothing to talk about. Of course it's, you listen to the Adim, and they say that shtar that she was going to write is a fake. So it can't be that she actually told Edim beforehand that this is what she's going to do, because then there can't be a machlokas as we're about to have on the top of the Amud. So Tosfos says, so that's why the Tosfos Rid says, it must, the girsa must be v'lo hodia le'edim. Just the opposite. Okay, she didn't say it beferish. That's what Tosfos says. The pshat is he doesn't change Rashi. He just argues on Rashi. So he said, v'niru l'abinu yitzchak d'lo amramidi. She didn't say anything. She didn't say anything. Ella gilui milsa ba'alma ika. This is just something that we assume. Gilui Milsa, she's Megala, her dash. She doesn't tell Edim, but she kind of, you know, gives us the impression as she's giving it to the daughter, honey, I really don't want this stuff to go to my husband. Here, I'm giving it to you. She doesn't make it conditional. She doesn't make it in front of Edim, but it's pretty clear. V'lohavi dvarim shebelev she'enem dvarim. It's not dvarim shebelev, which we say is not called dvarim. If I'm thinking of something and I don't give any inkling of it to the sale, I sell you something. Then the next day I say, oh, you know what? I only sold it to you if I won the lottery today. But I didn't, so I take it back. What are you talking about? You didn't make any give me any ideas that would be true. That's dvarim shebelev she'enem dvarim. So Tosfos says here, it's not that. Because we have little hints that this is true. As we're going to see in a few minutes. And as you see in Tosfos, Ayin Tosfos Lekamon Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph. Tosfos says, look later on. So if Tosfos himself, not Tosfos, but if the editor of the Vilna Shas put that in, we have to look later on, we have to look later on. Later on, Tosfos on Tzadi Zayin says the same thing that we quoted about a week ago when we quoted a Tosfos in Kiddushin. But here we're quoting it from the Tosfos right here in this Masechta. Tosfos says in Dibur Maskil Zavin on Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph that there are really three categories of types of cases regarding Tanaim, regarding conditions. There are cases, because we know, Tosfos asks, we know there are rules and regulations of Mishpatei HaTanaim. There are rules of cases which you require the laws of making conditions. We learned that from B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain. You have to make a Tanai Kafel, it has to be double. If this, fine. If that, fine. Like Moshe Rabbeinu made with them. You have to have the Hain Kodim Lalav, you have to have the positive before the negative, you have to Dover Shesh Efshar La. So they're all different conditions spoken about in the Mishnayis in the second half of Maseches Kiddushin. Mishpatei HaTanaim. So ask Tosfos. You get the impression from some Gemaras, like here, like this Gemara, Shtar Mavrachas. It doesn't say like there was no condition made. What is it? It's a Gili Milsa. We kind of know that this is what she has in mind. Why is that good enough? We have rules of conditions. You have to be explicit. Right? So, and here, but Gili Milsa is enough. But some cases we say Gili Milsa is not enough. So what are the types of cases? Tosfos says right here, three categories. Again, we said Tosfos says this in Kiddushin as well, but right here, Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph, there are three categories, types of cases. There are some cases that it's not clear at all that you're going to make a condition, and if that's the case, so then you for sure have to go through everything, including Mishpatei HaTanaim. Like the case I said, I get married, I'm going to ask that it rains tomorrow. There's no reason I would think that I'm going to get married only if it rains tomorrow. So if you want that condition to be effective, so you have to make a condition with all the rules and regulations of Mishpatei HaTanaim. Fine, that's one category. But then there's another category in the other extreme. What's called Dvarim Shebelev Ubelev Kol Adam. Something that is so clear, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything, you don't have to give off any hints. For example, the Gemara talks about elsewhere, if somebody gives all of their possessions to a neighbor because they don't think they have any, period. And then the next day their long lost son comes. They thought they didn't have any children. Who in their right mind would give away all of their possessions knowing that they have a Yoresh? The guy obviously didn't think he had a Yoresh. And today the guy walks in. So in that case, says the Gemara, even though he didn't say, oh, I'm giving it to you, I'm selling it to you, on condition that I don't have any Yoresh, it's clear. And therefore, that's called Dvarim Shebelev Ubelev Kol Adam. And therefore, that would be Chozer Bo, even without anything, without mentioning, without giving any hint. And then you have the middle category, and that is, it's not so clear, but it's a little bit. It's a little bit, you kind of get the impression, but you don't need Mishpatei HaTanaim, because it's probable, there's a good chance, that you're doing this. And that's the case spoken about in Kiddushin. Somebody sells his house because he's making Aliyah. That's the Gemara. Manasseh Meisach L'Eretz Yisrael. And then it works out that his job falls through, his this, his that, he couldn't go. Couldn't go. And he goes back to the guy and says, you know, I want my house back. It's like, you didn't make any condition. You didn't make any condition. You didn't say, you didn't give me any inkling. The Gemara says there, Tosfos says there, it's Mashra, that if he had given a little bit of Gilui Das, that would be good enough. So why don't you need Mishpatei Hatzonayim? The answer is because that's not like I'm not going to raise tomorrow. That's like not totally arbitrary. That doesn't have anything to do with the case. So that's why Tosfos on Tzadi Zion alluded to right here. He says, Ayin L'Kaman has those three categories. In terms of conditions, when do you have to say nothing? When do you have to say everything? Mishpatei Hatzonayim. And when do you have to say a little bit? And that's what Tosfos says is our case. A little bit. Right? You have to have a Gilui Milsa, and that would be good enough. That is Tosfos. There is a tshuva of the Rush where he has a case like this, Halacha L'Maisa. The Rush in Klal Shivim Vishmona, 78. Ayin Ches. She'alta. Reuven Shayachayev Milval Pel Shimon. Reuven owed money to Shimon. And I guess the relationship had soured. V'nasan kol asher lo lelevi. Lafkiachov Mishimon. So he gave all of his stuff to, it was a milveh al peh. Why is that important? Because if it's a milveh bishtar, there are shibudim. So the Reuven cannot give away property. He collects from a shibudim. But if it's a milveh al peh, he can only collect from B'nai Chorin, the property that he has. So Reuven is chayev to Shimon, and he gives away all of the property to Levi. So does he have rights to do that? So, and obviously Shimon comes to Bezin and wants his property. Nira Lee says the Rush. Bezeh da'azlinan basar umdana demuchach. You go after umdana. You go after what we assume why people did things. Midi dahavi like a shchiv meira. Shekasav, we'll get to this later, but he quotes here, Mesechas Gittin, it's a Mishnah in Peah. Shekasav konachasav la'acher v'acharkach amad. Person's on his deathbed, he gives away all of his stuff, and then he gets better. Then he gets better. So we say chozer bo. We say he gets his money back, because he thought he was going to die. Mishum umdana demuchach. Or Mishalach of Beno Lebedina Sayam, Vishama Shemes Beno, Vamad Vakosakon Chazalachem. Then he hears that his son didn't die. Vachain, Shtar Mavrachas, our case. Vakaela Rabos, Shahochu Chachamimachar Umdena Demuchach. Vain Lacha Umdena Demuchach Yoser Mizeh, there's no greater Umdena Demuchach, Adam Shinosen Kalmamono Lacherim, Vyachzar Hual Absachim. Why would a person do that? So he has to go back, he gives away all of his property. Elin is kavin ulaha arim ulahafkia milve Shimon. The reason he's doing this is obviously because he's just trying to undermine Shimon. Velo tafak zamamo, velo toel armaso. So Bezin's allowed to step in and say, sorry, you know, you can't do this. We know the reason that you're doing this. You don't really want to give this to the other guy. You just want to prevent Shimon from getting the money. Tough, we're Bezin. Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. And we are coming to help out the other borrower, the other lender that gave. Alachas kama v'kama, habo ligzol chaveiro bar maso, v'lavar al divrei Torah, v'lo lefer anoshav, you're trying to be mevatel a mitzvah, not to pay back your loans, sheh, nevatel armaso, so we as a bezdin, says the Rush, it was halacha l'maisa, the Rush's time, we want to be mevatel that v'zayig v'chovo min ha-masne, right, then you could go and collect from the masne. Mikol halen chazin nishkol machavin laharim chachmei Talmud umdu kenegdo, levatel armaso. In this case, and he quotes that his Rebbe, the Maharami Ruhenberg, also paskin that way in the case of a woman, and her nechse malug. Okay, so that's the case of Shtar Mavrachas. We see it's halacha lemaisa, and now let's see what happened in our case. So a woman gives away her possessions to her daughter, but she doesn't really mean it because she just doesn't want her husband to eventually get all of the property. This isn't like a case. This case isn't like a case where it's such bad kavana, like the case of the Rush. Like he doesn't want to pay his loan. This is a woman who has property, and she's nervous. She's nervous if she predeceases her husband's going to get all of her stuff. And then she doesn't want that. She has a daughter, right, we discussed earlier, but Ksuba's Ban and Dichrin, right? Is there something for the daughters from the previous marriage? But here, so that's what she's worried about. So that's what happens. What's the halacha? So also the kamei de Rav Nachman. So she comes in front of Rav Nachman at when she's getting divorced. Rashi on top. Litzvoa es bita lahachzir lahanachasim. Right? I want my property back. And the daughter says, "Mommy, I love you, but you know, it's my stuff. You know, it's my property. I can't give it to you back. I'll make sure that you have enough that you need, but it's my property." So kare Rav Nachman l'shtara. Rav Nachman ripped up the shtar. Ripped up the shtar matana, meaning she gave it back to the mother. She said, "This shtar is a fake shtar. I know it's a shtar mavrachas, and that the matana that was given to the daughter, and therefore She rips up the shtar. Says the Ritva, you know what you see from here? Whenever there is a shtar that shouldn't be collected in Beis Din, Beis Din should destroy the shtar. You know, don't leave it open for chance that it might be used illegally and non-halachically. Says the Ritva, Pirish. Dekol shtar hayotze lebezdin she'eino ra'ui la'asos bo ma'isa yesh lo ladayin lekaro. The dayin should rip it up, says the Ritva. And, you know, the Pnei Yeshua says maybe we're not even worried about people doing it on purpose. Maybe we're worried about a bezdin towin. Another bezdin is going to find the shtar. They're not going to realize what the background is. So you got to destroy. Right? We've had a number of times already in this Masechta little implicit hints of what we learn about Dayanim just from stories that take place. If you remember, we have this back on the last daf of the sixth parak. We have this back on daf Samach Tes Amid Aleph, where Rav Anan, I don't remember who the Rav was, that he was sitting there, Amemar was sitting in a Beis Din, and he overheard the parties talking to each other, and one said to the other, oh, if we had money, we would be able to drive her off the land. Remember that case? That was a case of dowry. Is that called Balaschov, or is it called Yerusha? So they say they would do something if they had any cash, and the Dayan doesn't say a word. So Tosfos there says, Haraya, that if a Dayan thinks something is wrong that people are talking about in the court, so then he has to say something. So again, it's a story in the Gemara. And the Rishonim say, oh, implicitly you learned something about a Dayan's behavior. And here too, right, implicitly this is a story, and the Ritva says, it must be that whenever there's the Yishtar that should not be used, it should be destroyed. So that's what Rav Nachman said, meaning the mother keeps it. Armalei Rav Anan. We've had a number of stories about Rav Anan. Lakame Demar Ukva. Also Mar Ukva. He jumped into the oven and jumped on his wife's feet so they don't burn. So Rav Anan came to Mar Ukva. Armalei Chazimar Nachman Chakla'a. Heichi Mikra Shtar Dinshi. Did you see what Nachman did? Doesn't even call him Rav Nachman. Nachman the Chakla'a. Chakla'a is like somebody who belongs in the field. Maybe chaklai, or Rashi says it means eino baki bedinim. He's not an expert. He's like, he's ripping up people's shtaros. Did you see what he did? How could he do that? How could he rip up people's shtaros? Meaning he obviously felt. You can't just rip up a shtar, and the shtar should have been good. So Amarlei answers Mar Ukva, who was the Av Beis Din, Emily Easy, tell me now, gufa de'uv de'hechiyavi. Give me all the facts. Give me all the facts of the case. I can't pask up. I need background, right? Also, another raya, the Rishonim don't have to say this, but we'll add this in. A dayan, or a rav, or a posek, should never give an answer unless they hear the whole story. You know, sometimes you have people who come, who only tell a little portion of the story, and then they set up the posek, or the rav, to give an irresponsible psak. A posek, a rav, everyone, it's their responsibility to get the whole story, and if they, especially if it involves two different people. Any Rav knows that if they hear something from one person about what the other person did, they have to do their research before they get involved at all to make sure that they get the whole story. So here he says, tell me the facts. Amar Lei, Hachi V'Hachi Avi, this is what happened. So Amar Lei, so Mar Ukva says, I don't understand. Rav Nachman's right. He's right for ripping up the shtar. Shtar Mavrachas, comrade. You're asking me about Shtar Mavrachas, a shtar that's meant just to be Mavriach, the Nechasim. Hachi Amar Rabbi Chaniloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel Mora Hora Ani. I am a Mora Hora. He's not being a Balgaiva there. He's just saying I have the Ritva says I have Rishus to Paskin. I have Rishus to give a Psak. Mora Hora Ani. I have Rishus from the Reish Galusa. Rashi says also. Natati Rishus me Reish Galusa. As the beginning of Sanhedrin says, there are certain types of cases where you need Rishus, and he says in Yavo Shtar Mavrachas Liadi Akarenu. If I get a Shtar Mavrachas, I will rip it up because there was a Gilui Milsa using Tosis' Lashon from before that this is not a true shtar, and therefore I will rip it up. Amalei Ravala Rav Nachman, Taim Amai. So now we continue the story. It seems like Rav Anan had run out of the Beis Din right after Rav Nachman had ripped it up and hadn't seen the following conversation, had heard the following conversation. But now we get back to the story. Rav Nachman had ripped up the shtar, and Rav says to him, Taim Amai, why did you rip up the shtar? Because it's a shtar mavrachas, delo shavik inish nafshe, v'yav lachrini. Because people don't give away their property for nothing. So obviously, if they do it, there must be a story behind it. 1 second, says Rava. Hani mili liachrini. So that svara could work when it comes to a stranger, a third party. Then we could say nobody would give their property to a third party without keeping it for themselves. Avalabarta yaiva. But maybe for a daughter, they would give it. Even though maybe the motivation was mavrachas, but once it's a daughter, they'll give it, because they love their daughter. That's the whole point. So the Gemara says, you're right, people love daughters, but afilo achi b'makam barta nafsha adifala. But when it's you or your daughter, you'll take it. If it's your daughter or anybody else, no, you won't. But, you know, nafsha adifala, even though a person loves their daughter, right? This connects to the question the Ramban asked on this week's Parsha, on v'yathlo rechal kamocha. Ramban says, it's impossible. It's impossible, even one's daughter. It's impossible to love somebody else like myself. It's impossible, says the Ramban. And the Ramban says, it's derech guzma. It's really an exaggeration. It doesn't mean literally, because it's impossible. And what it means is, says the Ramban, in terms of actions, not in terms of feelings. In terms of, you should try to love each other as much as possible. But in terms of whatever you want for yourself, you should try to want that and give that to others. In terms of actions, in terms of, you know, as much as you take care of yourself, you should take care of others, as much as you financially and psychologically, and all of that. But it means, v'yathlo rechal kamocha, in a little more flexible way. So that could be part of what's behind this line. Right? He says, not b'makam barta, even if it's a child, nafsha adifala. Right? His nefesh is better. Even though, yes, we find, you know, parents give a lot more to their children sometimes than they keep for themselves. They're very miserly amongst themselves. They just give everything to the daughter. And the son. But that's true. But there's still an element of that Ramban's question of, you know, the feeling inside. It's difficult. Okay. Meisvei, obviously, after Rechel Kamocha is a whole separate shir. That's just to touch on that Ramban. Meisvei says the Tosefta. We're going to ask a kasha on Shmuel. Again, Shmuel said, you rip up the Shtar Mavrachas. Harot says, Shetavriach Nachasim Ibaila. If somebody wants to be Mavriach Nachasim from someone who's supposed to get it, Ketad Huose, what should he do? Koseves Shtar Pasim La'acherim. Divrei Reb Shimon Gamliel. He should write a shtar pasim for others. What is a shtar pasim? Rashi says pasim means piyusim. Piyusim, you try to convince somebody. Shemafayasto lekabel matanazu. You try, pasim is, you give somebody a shtar, you know, please take this, even though it's not really yours, do me a favor. That's shtar pasim. You try to persuade. You try to convince the person to help you out. That's called a shtar pasim, but it's not a real shtar. That's divrei Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. The Shimon Kubetzes says on that line that it must be that you're going to give them something. Sharp, you're going to convince them, but it must be they have some financial element that they're going to have, because they're going to go through this whole thing without getting anything, any benefit. Says the Shita Mukubetzes, quoting the Rashi and the Madur Kama. Shtar piyusin, shemifayeses la'achirim, sheyardu binachasei, ki'ilu hein shelahen, kedei la'avricha min abal. Right, you want them to act like an owner in front of the person who you don't want to get the money. Vahachi kari le shtar piyusin. Why is it called that? Da amar vade lo boy la sok v'lechok nafshe b'nichse elib ke mifayeses lo v'nosenes lo ksaschar. It must be you're giving them something to help with the convincing. So you're mefayes them, usually that goes along with some financial benefit. So that's shtar piyusin. That's the shita of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. That's what you should do. V'chachamim omrim, no. Ratza mitzachik ba. The person who receives this shtar can be mitzachik, can laugh, cannot take it seriously. Meaning, that's not, if they get this shtar and it says perfectly, it's my money, it's my money. Right? That's not clear enough, and I can argue in court about it. Ad, what's the mavrachas? What's the case that works, that shows it's not a real kinyan? Ad shetich tov lo mehayom ulekisha erze. You gotta write something in the shtar that's kind of like a tznai. I'll decide in the future if I really want you to hold on to this and have it, or, you know, I'm gonna decide otherwise that I'm gonna keep it. Right? That's the tznai that must be written in this case. Rashi explains here, Acha tichto b'shtar ze mehayom nesunim lecha, from today it's yours, ulekisha erze yesh kan havracha mibayla, but I'm putting a clause. I'm putting an out clause in it that says, Shem bala zakos, tomar, ani rotzeh bimatana, v'nimsa kayemes l'mafreya, v'imzeh shenechta b'shtar yavo l'achzik, tomar, ani rotzeh. Right, so I'm putting a clause that I have an out in the shtar. That's what the Chachamim say, have to be done, you can't just assume it or say it al peh. The Ran says it's similar to cases that we have in Kiddushin, amanashi yirtza abba. I'll marry you, amanas, that my father is happy about the marriage. So this is amanas, that I'm happy about the transaction. So they're going to get like a tznai built in inside of it. The Ritva quotes one daya that it's a matana gemura, but in the future you can have a schus chazara. He does not like that a formulation. He says rather it's in limbo right now. There's nothing set in stone until the future, until that decision is made. Like amanashi yirtza abba. I'm married today, amanashi yirtza abba. Are they married yet? No. You have to know whether amanashi yirtza abba. Whatever that means. Amanas that the father says yes, the father doesn't say no, doesn't protest, as we discussed earlier. But whatever it means, there's limbo until there's no specific status until that occurs. So that's what the Ritva says, even though he quotes a day up that says otherwise.
Should he make a contract with the Baal?
So what kind of contract with the Baal? The Baal is a takanat rabbana. He gets the nechsem alug. Whatever she brings it to the marriage. She doesn't want to bring this into the marriage.
Right.
You can't make bimasa mashakasa batara. You can't be masna against what the Rabbanan want. It's a prenuptial type of, but it's not between the husband and the wife. It's between the husband and another party trying to prevent. It does, the Rishonim don't really talk about this, but already, if we make these types of conditions, it already starts to border on the sugya of asmachta. Right, which is, you know, I commit something today based on a future event that didn't occur yet. Right, the gambling issues, which is Aslata Lokanya, we paskin. So already borders on that, but we sure don't think it's an issue here. So we're not going to get into it right now. But again, it sounds like it's the more tanai you make about it, which has to do with a future event, the more it is... It borders on asmachta, but we've quoted in the past that the three sugyas that the border on each other, asmachta and tznai, right, and other sugyas that are related. So you have to know exactly how to navigate between all these sugyas. Viter taima dekas v'le hachi, but here's the kasha on Shmuel. So the only reason, according to the Chachamim, that it works is because he wrote this in the shtar. Halo kas v'le hachi. If he didn't write this, kanin he lokeach. So then the lokeach, the buyer, would be kone it. And the lokeach has the rights to say, I know what you're talking about. You gave it to me. So Kashan Shmuel. Shmuel says, just the Shtar Avrachas without writing it explicitly. Amar Abzera, Lokasha, Habakula, Habimiksasa. It depends if he gave away all of his property or just some of his property. Where do you have to write it when you gave away some of your property? Because then it's not clear. You kept some. So then you have to write it to give us the Gilui Milsa. But if you gave away all your property, so then obviously you don't mean it, right? The Mishnah Maseches Peah makes the same distinction about a shchiv mirah. A shchiv mirah who gives away property and then he gets better. He's about to die. So the Mishnah says, if he gave away all of his property, then when he gets better, he gets to take it all back, because nobody in their right mind would give away all their property. But if he gave away part of it, so then it's not so clear. Not so clear. You might have to have done something and said something in that context. Finishing up, the Elot, now we ask the basic question that we've dealt with, that we alluded to before. So what is this we're saying, Ashtar Mavrachas? She's making a semi-Kinyan, but not a real Kinyan, just to prevent her husband from getting the property. But then the question is, if it doesn't really belong to that other person, then it's really hers, so the husband should get it. It's property that she owns going into the marriage. That's the kasha now. The ilo kanin ilo keach nikninhu baal. How do you get out of that? So Amar Abaya, this is why this whole sugya is brought here. Abaya says, asa'um kinachasim shein yiduin labaal v'aliba de Reb Shimon. Remember, Reb Shimon in our Mishnah says that if the husband didn't know about it, what he doesn't know about is not going to hurt him. Right? What he doesn't know about, then he's not going to have any rights to in terms of her ability to sell it. So this is similar to that. As long as the husband thinks that it belongs to somebody else, even if it doesn't really, that's good enough for keeping it out of the takana derabanan of nechsei malug that she brings into the marriage. There is a machlok, as we've shown him here, can the lokeach, in quotes, can that lokeach, you know, eat from the field in the interim? They know it's not really theirs yet. But, you know, but they have to fake it, right? So do they have rights? So that's what the Shibu Kubetz said earlier. He said, yes, that's gufa their schar. That's what they're, not that, they're not eating it so much Betoras, an owner, but Betoras, a worker. Because they're taking care of this property for the woman, and therefore, they have rights. The Rosh says Beferish, and the Torah says Beferish, that they have rights to eat the Beferis. Rashi says here, a little bit seems like, not, but, that relates to who is the real owner. Okay. There's one final point. The Ramban here is a little bothered by the connection to Reb Shimon. In the case of Reb Shimon, Nechasim She'inim Yiduim Labal, we're talking about does a real sale that she does work. So there, you could say, okay, the husband didn't know about it. She really sold it. Here, she didn't sell it. The point is, it's still hers. She just did a fake sale. So the Ramban is somewhat bothered, you know, how the Gemara can have that comparison between whether a sale is effective or whether a fake sale is effective. So, but that's the Ramban right here. Vayter in the Mishnah, here we go. So we know that the yesod of what we've been talking about, Nichse Malug, is that the properties that are not written in the Ksupa, that she brings into the marriage, she has a Kinyan Aguf, she owns them, but the husband has Kinyan Peiros. He could eat the Peiros and the products of that property. So now, the next Sugya is going to be about what's called Guf, what's called Peiros. And if a woman brings something into the marriage, we're always going to try to make sure that there's a principle that remains. That's the point of the following Mishnah. Nafluk safim, what if she brings cash into the marriage? She brings cash in, so then that cash could be used up. So what are you going to say? The husband could use it. That's peiros? That's not peiros, that's guf. But how do you make sure it remains? So you lock it. And karka v'ocha peiros. You have to invest it. You have to invest it in karka. And then he will eat the fruit, literally, from that karka. Peiros hatlushim in a karka. What if she brings in detached fruit from the karka? So same thing. You lock it. And karka v'ocha peiros. That's called hers. And we want it to stay as hers. But the only way to do that is if you make it into something that stays. And that's karka. What about peiros hamechubarin bakarka? What about peiros that are still attached? So what is that called? Is that called guf? That's called hers, and therefore, well, we don't want it to be eaten because then there's not going to be any principle left. Or do we say, no, that's not called. That's whenever it's picked, it's called peiros, and the land is still there. So that's where it gets tricky. Peiros hamechubarin bakarka. And the Rosh even adds, we're talking about even if it's omed lihikatzeitz. Even if it's about to be picked, and we know, as we alluded to yesterday, there's a principle of peiros omed libatzer kibitzurin damyin. For certain halachas, we say that fruit that are ready to be picked, it's as if it's picked already. But here, we're not going to say that, because here we're talking about what's the din d'rabbanan that the rabbanan instituted in terms of nichsei malug. It doesn't have to fit into the regular, the Sharm Sinai Balacha here says, on that rush. It doesn't have to fit into the regular categories of kibatzer dami, lav kibatzer dami, because we're talking about what was the din d'rabbanan that the rabbanan made. So here we go. So peiros hamechubar b'karka. Amar Rabbi Meir, shamin osa, you estimate, you evaluate the field, kamehi yafe b'peiros, v'kamehi yafe below peiros, v'yamoser yikla ben karka v'ocha peiros. Reb Meir says, it's called guf, meaning it's hers. Therefore, you have to figure out how much is the field worth with and without these fruit, and that difference, you have to buy karka, and she keeps that guf and he eats the peiros. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. The peiros and mechubar are hers. V'chachamim omrim, no. Hamechubarim lekarka shelo. If it's mechubar lekarka, so then, no. When she brings it in, that he could pick it afterwards, and fine, that's called peiros. V'tlushim in hakarka shelo. Only what's detached. That, as you said before, I'll agree with you, that's hers. V'ilokam in hakarka v'olcha peiros. So, machlokas remir in the chachamim about peiros mechubarim. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says something that seems to be similar, but the Gemara will explain what the difference is. Makom sheyafek kocho biknisasa, hora kocho b'diyisiasa. Where he has strength on the property going into the marriage, he loses that strength when there's a divorce going out of the marriage. And makom shehora kocho biknisasa, yafek kocho b'diyisiasa. And where his strength is weakened going in, it's strengthened going out. What does that mean? So the Mishnah explains. Ketzad, peiros hamechubar in lakarka, peiros that hamechubar, biknisasa, when the marriage is taking place, shelo, it belongs to him. Meaning like the shita of the chachamim. Belongs to him. Ubitziasa, shelo, but going out, it belongs to her. Meaning if it's still attached, then he can't rip it off or have any rights to it when they're getting divorced, so it belongs to her. And vatlusha min hakarka, if it's detached, b'knisasa shela, going in, it goes to her because it's already considered hers, guf, and therefore you have to buy property with it. Ubitziyasa shelo, but if it's already detached, when they're getting divorced, the husband gets to keep it. Fine. Ask Rabbi Ochanan here, how is it that, you know, they're married and it belongs to the husband, let's say the fruit that are growing on the tree. The husband's looking at those payros, that's going to be mine, and all of a sudden they get divorced, it goes to her. Now, how does that kinyan, if he already has something earmarked for him, so how did that change? He says, Ech nifka kinyano al yedei gerushin, maishna mitlushin tehein shelo mipnei shekvar zacha bohen. You know, what happened? Even the mechubarin, if it belongs to, that's called payros, no? So he says, Veshema yisvir le Reb Shimon, de kinyano matchala rak lizman ache tiskarish. The Rabbanon kinyan that was created for him was, you have a kinyan until divorce. That's your kinyan. It's a kinyan lizman. Avo kishetolshan zachan lechalutin. If you're already detached, so then it's yours. It's already in your bank account. Aval inei mahachi, he says, that's why he, it's kinyan lizman. He's bothered then, how could the Baal bring them for bikurim them, if he only has a kinyan lizman, but that is the, Rabbi Chanan. That it, the kinyan evaporates. That was the inherent takana. Says the Gemara. Pshita. So what are you gonna buy with this fruit, this cash? What's the best thing to buy? So pshita, ara ubate. If it's a choice between buying a piece of land and buying a house, ara. Buy land. Why? Rashi says two reasons. Number one, schara meruba. There's probably more, it's more profitable. And eina markeves, and it's there forever. A house could fall down, a house could start rotting. But land is always there forever. So aru bate, ara is better. Bate v'dikli, houses and trees, bate, houses are better. Dikli v'ilane, tall palm trees and other fruit trees, dikli. Ilane v'gufne, ilani. Goes through all different types of trees, which is more sturdy, which is more profitable. Iba zardasa upeira de kavri. What if you have a forest, which Rashi says the fruit aren't, the trees aren't there for the fruit, you're going to cut down the forest. It's going to be used for lumber. And a fish pond, peira de kavri. So what is that called? You're going to cut down the forest. So is that called peiros, because there's not going to be anything left? Or, no, there's going to be something left, maybe the stumps of the tree, the ground is going to be left. So what is that called? So amila peira v'amila karna. Some say that's called peiros, and therefore you'd have to sell it and buy land. And some say that's called karen. No, so it's karen, and therefore it doesn't have to be sold because it's karen as it is. Klal de milsa, but it's a machlokes. But what's the root of the machlokes? Gizo machlef peira ain gizo machlef karna. If the geza, if the principle is going to regenerate itself, then that could be called peiros. Ain gizom, I think I might just misspoken before. The opposite of what I said. Ain gizom achlof karna. But if the principle is not going to come back, then it's keren, and therefore you have to sell it and make sure that the principle does stay for the wife. Amar Bezeir, Amar Boshi, Amar Biana, Yamrila, Amar Biaba, Amar Boshi, Amar Biana. Two versions. Hagonev Vlad Behemas Malug. What's this case? A woman brings in an animal. She brings in an animal to the marriage. It's a nichse malug animal. And that animal has a baby. It's a vlad behemas malug. And that baby is stolen. The question is, who is the real bialim? So you think this is such a little detail. But this is going to the root of nichse malug. Will the real owner please stand up? Will the real bialim? He has kinyan peiros. She has kinyan aguf. So what's the halacha here? But this one is a little trickier because we're not talking about the nichse malug animal actually. We're talking about the offspring of a nichse malug animal. And not just the actual offspring, the payment that you're going to make for stealing the offspring. So let's see if all of that makes a difference. So mishal and tashlume kefel le'isha. Rabbi Yonai says, you know who the ganav pays kefel to? The isha. She is the bailim. Nichse malug, she has a kinyan aguf. But we're saying even the Vlad, even the kefil of the Vlad. So, Kiman, lo karabana, lo kechananya. Ask the Gemara, who is Rabbi Yonai like? It's against both of the following Tanoim. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Vlad behemas malug. Who gets, you know, the nechse malug, she brings it to the marriage. What about the offspring? Who gets this animal? So, Vlad behemas malug, labau. The Brisa says, this offspring is called fruit. Just like if a tree grows fruit, that fruit goes to the husband. So if an animal has a baby, that baby goes to the husband. That's called the husbands. Vlad shivchas malug leisha. The vlad of a shivcha, if she brings in a maidservant into the marriage, and that maidservant has a baby, okay, that goes to her. We'll see why a little bit later on. Bez Hashem. The Chananya ben Achi Yoshia Amar, no. Asu vlad shivchas malug and vlad behemas malug. No, both go to the husband. So Kasha, Rabbi Yanai said that you pay kefil to the woman. But both Chananya and the Rabbanan agree, by the behema, the vlad belongs to the husband. So how could the Rabbi Yanai say that you pay kefal to the isha? So Gemara answers, afilu teima devei kol. No, this is everybody. Everybody could, Rabbi Yanai could go according to everybody. Why? Because even if you want to say the animal belongs to the husband, the kefal on the animal does not go to the husband. Peira takinu le rabbanan. One step removed from the principle, the animal itself, that's the takana, that belongs to the husband. Peira de peira. But money that you make off of the money that you made from the original, two steps removed, the kefel of the baby of the mother. So, peira de peira lo takinu le rabbanan. That the rabbanan were not misaki, should go to the husband. That's why it goes to the wife. Stop there for a minute. Look at Tosas. Peira de peira. Dafka b'midi da'asi me'alma. Right, the only reason the husband's not getting this is because it's an external type of peira de peira. It's kefel. Kefel is not a natural outgrowth of the animal. What if the animal has grand offspring? So you're going to say that also goes back to the isha? No, that's natural. Peira de peira de peira, ad infinitum, whatever we're going to have at the beginning of the next parak, Tosfos says, that all goes to the husband. It's just where you have an external peira de peira, something that's not natural, that's where it goes to the husband. Avo pshita de peira nami takina le rabbanan. As it says, the first mission in Akosev on daf pe gimel. V'had de kamar misham tashlume kefel le'isha, hainu kefel l'chudei. Avo keren le'baal. Second important point in Tosfos. When we say the kefel goes to the isha, that only means the extra payment goes. The keren goes to the husband, which is a chiddush. We've discussed that, I think, back in the third parak. The relationship of knasos and mamonis, and sometimes you have a knas, and the question is, what's its relationship with the mamon that it's connected to? Let's say the five payments we mentioned by Chavala. Nezek, Sarah, Rebbe, Shevis, and Boshas. What about an ones? In those cases, there's case of the payment of the knas, and then there's the payment, the first half of the fourth parak. That's what we discussed this. Because we spoke about Shvuas Pikadon in terms of the knas and the mamon, the relationship between the two, and Kefel and Karen have their own unique relationship. So here, Tosva says you might be able to split the two. The Minchas Chinuch asks a classic Minchas Chinuch kasha, just a one-liner. A one-liner which, you know, if you hear this question, you're like, oh, that's a Minchas Chinuch question. But that's what he says here. He says, in Mitzvah Nun Dalet, the Mitzvah of Geneva and Kefel, Nistapakti. What if somebody steals Vlad Behemoth Nichse Malug, as we know here, discussed, the Kaimalan da Karen Shayach Labao Kefel Isha, Tosva says, the Karen goes to the Baal, Kefel says to the Isha, we know Modepik Knas is Potter. If you admit on the Knas before the Edom come, you're Potter. But that's only true if you admit in front of the Baal Dover. If you admit in front of the person who's the Baal Dover of this stolen item, who's the Baal Dover? Who do you have to, let's say you're the Ganav, you want to be Modeh in front of the right person so you don't have to pay the Knas. So is the Bailam the woman because she's going to get the Kefel, or is it the husband because he's going to get the Karen? That's his Kasha. Miyu Abal Din Bazeh, the Modeh Befond of Niftar, Vitzarech Ian. Doesn't answer the question, but classic. You know, detail, which though, the tiny little detailed questions, the Minchas Chinuch, really reflect major halachic issues. That's the real classic Minchas Chinuch style. So here too, meaning he's asking, who's the real Bailam of this animal? Weiter. Bishlama l'Chananya. I understand the Svara of Chananya, who says, the vlad of both the behemah and the shivcha go to the husband. We're not worried that this animal or this woman is going to die. We're not worried that the principal is going to die. So we say that the offspring could go to the husband. Ela l'rabbanon. Why do the rabbanon make a distinction between the animal and the shivcha? If you're worried that the mother is going to die, so therefore there's not going to be any principal left, then everything should go to the woman. Afilu vlad behemah b'lug namilo. Then even the behemah should not go to the husband. You're worried that the mother behemah is going to die. V'ilo chai shila misa. And if you're not worried about misa, afilu vlad shivcha malug nami. Then even shivchas malug nami. Then even the vlad of the shivchas malug should go to the husband. So lo la'olam chai shila misa. Really, you are choshi shila misa, and that's why it should go to the wife. Vishaini behema diika ora. But even if the animal dies, it's okay. There's still some principle left to go to her. The skin, the hide. And that's why we're not worried in that case. Period. It goes to the, or Tosa says, Tosa is bothered, in Dibra Maskel Shiny, without answering it, he said, I don't understand how that's a real shiur, because she can't shecht it if she wants, right? So it's not really hers in control of it. You're right, if it dies, that's a principle that's left over. But Tosa is not so happy with that, that Ora, and Shimon Kabetz tries to answer it, but, we'll continue. Amr Afuna Barchia, Amr Shmuel Halacha Kechananya, we paskin like Chananya, that says both offsprings go to the husband. That's what Chananya said. Amar Rav Nachman, Afagav to Amar Shmuel Halacha Chananya, Mode Chananya. Even though we pass like Chananya, Chananya agrees. Shem Nizgarsha, if divorce takes place, no senes damim v'notaltan v'pnei shevach beisaviha. If divorce takes place, she could demand for paying for it, demanding it back from the husband, because of Shevach Beisaviyah. There are certain heirlooms, there are certain items that have been associated with my family for so many centuries, so long, so therefore I get to have it back. And even though halachically you got it, but I have to pay, you have to give it to me if I pay you for it. That's called Shevach Beisaviyah. The Sharm Siyana Balacha here notes the sugya, Maseches Baba Kama. What happens if I walk into your house and I realize that you have something of mine? And you bought it from a store, and I had lost it, or it was stolen. Right, a big sugi after World War II, where it happened by Svarim. The Nazis took a lot of Svarim, and then after the war, people found Svarim, started selling them, and somebody would walk into the house and say, hey, that's my set of Svarim. I bought it from a Mocher Svarim. So do you have a chiyuv to give it back? Right, does he have a chiyuv to give it back for free? Right, Tosfos says, but the end of Baba Kama, people are not misyayish on their Svarim. I'm a siyash on their svarim. So the question is, what about these cases? What if it has my name in it? Right? Does that make a difference? So I know it's yours, but I bought it. So you want it, you have to pay me for it. So that's a big sugya, but that's here. That connect to Shevach Beisavia. This is my family, find me own family property. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Hechnisa lo eiz l'chalba. If she brings it to the marriage, a goat for milk. V'racha l'gizasa. V'tarna goles l'beitzasa. A hen for eggs, v'dekala peirosav, ochel v'holech hachetichla hakeren. In all these cases, the husband could just keep using it. Why? Rashi explains, there's always something left. Right, there's the hide, and there's the bark, and there's the, there's always something left, even if the husband uses it. That's called peiros. Amar Rav Nachman, ay lele glima, if she brings in a cloak, peirahave, it's called peiros, and if a machasi bavazel, he could use it to cover himself at the kalyo until it gets us totally worn out. Keman ki aitana, who is the one that said that you're allowed to do this? And even though it's totally worn out and hardly worth anything, that's good enough. Even if there's only a tiny amount of valued keren left is good enough, who is that like the following tana? The tanya, hamelech vachol. What if she brings in salt deposits or areas of beach with sand? So is the husband allowed to take the salt out of the ground? Is he allowed to use the sand for building? Yes. Hareza peiros. You might take all the salt and only what's going to be left, just the earth? That's okay. That's this opinion. That's this brisa. Pier shall gufris, machpor shall trif, or if you have a sulfur pit or a place where you're going to get tzarif, aluminum, ribi mero, merkeren, achom omer peiros. That's a machlokas. That's a machlokas. But you see that there, even if there's very, very little left, it still could be called something that the husband could use until it is almost totally used up. Rabbi Shimon Omer Makam Shiyafakoch Vachuler. Rabbi Shimon, if you remember, said in the Mishnah where the husband has strong rights going in, he loses his rights going out, and vice versa. So Rabbi Shimon Aino Tanakama. Isn't that the same sheet as the Tanakama? The Tanakama also said peiros that are mechubar are hers. So it's the same thing. So Amar Arva mechubar and b'shas yitziyah ikibinayu. If they're mechubar b'shas yitziyah. Right, Rabbi Shimon says it flips. It started out being his and then hers, so the Tanakama does not have to say that is parallel. Period. Naflu la. What about other cases? Deciding whether something is Karen or Peiros. Naflu la. Avadim ushvachos zakenim. Elderly servants. Machro. Yimachru. Vilachem and kagavocha Peiros. So those aren't going to last so long, and if they die, there's nothing left. So therefore, you sell them, you buy property, and the husband can eat Peiros from the property. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer lo timkar. Even though they might die, there's nothing left. As we said, this is family. This is identified as from her family, so therefore you don't You don't sell that. Naflu la zesim ugefanim zakenim. Also old vines and olive groves. Yimach rubi lakam mekakabu chaperes. Rebuta omer lo tibkar munein shein shevach beis aviyah. Right? Olives and grapes, as we know in halacha, have unique halachos. They're the only ones, only fruit, which liquid coming out of them has a special status. Right? Shemen and yayin. So Rebuta even says that in terms of just having them, there's a special status of shevach beis aviyah. Amar of kahana marav machlokes shenaflu lebesada shelah. The machlokes is when these items fell, when the zaytim and the kfanim were hers. Right? With the land and the trees became hers. And therefore, Rashi says, d'chiyavshi zesim havila karka lekaren. Right? The machlokes between them is only when it's on hers. So therefore, even if they dry up, you still have the land. Avo besada she'en eshalah. But if it's not hers, if she does not own the land, she only owns the trees, then for sure, when they dry up, there's not going to be anything left. So divrei hakol timkar bepeshum to kalkal yakarna, that the karen is finished. So says the Gemara, maskal Rav Yosef, 1 minute. Hari avadim ushvachos, dechisa deshena shel adami. What do you mean? In the resha, the case of the servants, when they die, there's nothing left. So it's like a sada that is not hers. Upligi, and there's a machlokas there too. There's a shita that says temporary shevach beis aviha is also crucial. Okay, this is what we meant to say. Amar kana marav machlokes besada she'ena shelah. The machlokes is only when it's not hers, and the question is temporary shevach good enough or not? Aval besada shelah, but if it's hers, de riyako lo timkar. Everybody says not to sell because she's going to have something left even if it dries up. Mipnei shevach beis aviyah. Okay, we'll stop here. Bishop, tomorrow we will continue with daf pei here in Maseches Ksuba as we continue sugyas of nechsei malug for the next couple of days.